Welcome to another week of Encounters with Christ. You know, getting gifts is an important part of many occasions. Birthdays, Christmases, weddings, baby showers, anniversaries, and even retirement parties. Sometimes we get to ask for what we want. When we were young, we would write a letter to Santa. Maybe for a wedding or a baby shower, you sign up for a gift registry. And no matter the occasion, we all appreciate a thoughtful gift, don't we? I know as a kid, my mom who's watching will probably remember this. There was a present that I really, really, really wanted. And the one I probably wanted the most was this Dukes of Hazzard toy set that had both a General Lee and Roscoe P. Coltrane's patrol car. That was like the thing I really wanted. And I don't remember if it was for birthday or for Christmas. I don't remember. But I know I asked Mom every time. Do you remember Hill's department stores? It was there. And every time we went in, I was just like glued. And I'd ask my mom and my dad, my grandparents, and I prayed to God, and I even wished upon the stars. And to my great excitement, I did get that present. But as kids, there are times when you got things you didn't want. Was there anything worse than opening up socks and underwear in front of the whole family? Even as adults, sometimes we receive a bizarre gift from that weird aunt that we certainly didn't ask for, like that sweater with a picture of a cat on it and fur coming off of it. You're kind of like, really? Or how about that not-so-hidden message that somebody gives you when you unwrap a box containing workout videos and a case of Slim Fast? Maybe it's what someone needed, but it's certainly not what they asked for, is it? Well, in today's encounter, we find a man that was seeking to receive something from Jesus. So let us go back to our scripture in Luke 5. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Now, isn't it amazing? It seems like many of our encounters start the same way. There was Jesus, there was crowds of people, and always somewhere lurking was his favorite people, the Pharisees. And as we continue to find, Luke says that some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. These are some dedicated friends, right? First of all, they wanted their friend to be healed, so they carried him all the way to where Jesus was going to be. And when it seemed impossible to meet Jesus, they literally go above and beyond and find a way to get him in front of Jesus by lowering him through the roof. So these are not only dedicated, but these are pretty intelligent guys, because I don't know how I would set up ropes and lower anybody down in this roof. That would be kind of hard to do. And don't we all wish we had friends as good as these people were? This man needed to be healed, and these friends would stop at nothing to help him. But what we see is that something else happens. Verse 20, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. What did Jesus just say? Friend, your sins are forgiven. This man is laying paralyzed on a mat. And his friends demonstrate this amazing faith of the healing power of Jesus, and they want him to bring him there, and he says, your sins are forgiven. I mean, doesn't that seem like a letdown? Isn't that like getting an ugly sweater at Christmas before ugly sweaters were cool? This is not what the man wanted. This is not what the man and his friends were seeking. He wanted to walk again, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. But in reality, this is what the man ultimately needed. More than his need to walk, more than anything in the world, this man first needed to be forgiven. Have you ever asked God and asked God and asked God and just felt like God didn't hear you? Have you ever felt distant from God? Ever feel like things just aren't right in your journey of faith? Like God isn't listening? Like God went on vacation and left you all alone? Well, it could be that your sin is creating the separation. Seeking God's forgiveness should be a part of our daily routine. Just as Jesus taught us when he taught the prayer from Matthew 6, it says, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Or as we just said a few moments ago in our translation, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We must rid our lives of sin. But I also hope you see that this is a two-part statement that is specifically tied together. First of all, we need forgiveness, each of us, because our sin separates us from God. But we will not be forgiven of our sins unless we do what? Unless we forgive others. Look at what Jesus tells us a couple verses later in Matthew 6. In verse 14 it says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, that big word but, right? If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Isn't that something? If you do not forgive other people their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Not only does our sin create a separation from God, our unwillingness to forgive someone else creates a separation from God. Now, that person may not want to receive your forgiveness. Forgiving someone does not mean they're not held accountable for what they have done. We still hold people accountable, but we can still forgive them. And forgiving someone does not mean you need to return to a toxic relationship. That is not what forgiveness is about. But forgiving someone means that you have let go of what their sin was. Because when you hold on to your sin or you hold on to somebody else's sin, it creates a separation with God. And I firmly believe that sin can create legitimate physical and mental illnesses. I believe that sin is a direct cause of stress and anxiety. And I believe that our sin directly affects our relationship with those around us. Especially when we hold grudges. Especially when we harbor anger against others. We must forgive so that we can be forgiven. Forgiveness is what brings us closer to God. Forgiveness cleanses us and makes us worthy to stand before God. Forgiveness is a key element of our salvation. Just as Jesus said, when he was doing the Last Supper, Matthew 26 records this. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? It is only through the soul-cleansing power of Jesus, only through His blood, that we can find forgiveness and salvation. You need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. Each and every day, we need to lay our sins before God and before one another. We need to ask other people to forgive us. And we need to provide forgiveness to other people. And then we need to daily ask the Lord to forgive us. And the beauty is that God is faithful and just, and He will forgive. Forgiveness is what frees us. Forgiveness is what restores us. Forgiveness puts us in a right relationship with God, and it is forgiveness that then allows us to receive healing and blessing from God. Do you see why this guy needed forgiveness first? That sin is a barrier from receiving what God has for us, whether it is healing or blessing. And as we go back to the story, we see that it is that Jesus is the Christ. That it is Jesus who can both heal and forgive. And after pronouncing forgiveness for this man, Luke 5:21 says, "The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, 'Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" This was not a simple statement. If Jesus had been an ordinary man, if Jesus was seen simply as a rabbi or a prophet, these men were right. This would have been blasphemy because forgiveness is the work of God. But you see, the teachers of the law did not see Jesus for who He was. Jesus is divine. Meaning that He is not just the Son of God, that He is God. That He is the Messiah. And Luke writes, as he continues in verse 22, Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk?'" Jesus shows His divine nature by knowing what is in their hearts. Just as Jesus knew also what was in the paralyzed man's heart. Just as Jesus knows what's in our heart. Jesus was clearly saying to them exactly who He was. And in verse 24, He says, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." The term Son of Man is a term the Jews knew well. The Son of Man is deceiving to us by the way it sounds. Because I was born, right, the son of a man, right? I'm part of mankind. My parents were humans, and I was born to them. But that is not what the Son of Man, that's not what that term means. It is a term that refers to the Jewish understanding of the coming judgment. Basically, their version of the understanding of our book of Revelation. The Son of Man was to be appointed to be sent by God from heaven to bring judgment and restoration to the people of Israel. They believed that the anointed one would come from God, and the title was Son of Man, that He would come to bring judgment on the unfaithful and restore the kingdom of Israel to its rightful place. And Jesus here in this passage and in other passages is declaring to the teachers that he is the anointed one. He is the Christ, the one sent by God, the one with the power and authority of God. And after declaring his power and authority to forgive, verse 24, so he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. It was after this man was forgiven. It was after this man was made right with God that he received his healing. And the work of God in our lives should bring us joy. It should make us want to praise God. And it should also make others praise God. Verse 26 says that everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to see God do remarkable things. And if we want to see God do remarkable things, then we need to be right with God. God desires his children to be close to him. But our sin prevents us from fully experiencing what a life in Christ can be. But here's the good news. We can be forgiven. No matter what we have done, we can be forgiven. And let us remember this. Sin is sin. To God, there is no measure of sin. You can say, I sinned, but I went to church, I read my Bible, I said my prayers, and I did what I was supposed to. And look at all those people who didn't come today. Look at all those people doing something else. Look at somebody else. Look, you can say all you want. You can say, I didn't commit adultery today. You can say, I didn't murder somebody today. I'm a pretty good person. God, sin is sin is sin. And no matter what we have done, big or small, in our minds, our sin can be forgiven. Forgiveness is not just a word. Forgiveness is an experience. Let me say that again. Wake up. Forgiveness is not just a word. Forgiveness is an experience. And I say that because forgiveness means we don't have to carry the guilt of sin with us. I've said it many times, I'm not proud of what I have done in my past. But I have been freed from living with that guilt. And because of his grace and because of his forgiveness, God has redeemed me. And because I have been redeemed, I have the honor and the privilege to be your pastor. Because I myself am not worthy to be a pastor. I am not worthy to preach his gospel. I am not worthy to do baptisms, officiate communion, do weddings or apply ashes or anything as a pastor. But his forgiveness is greater than all my sin. Isn't that wonderful? That's the whole point of the cross. That I am forgiven. That you are forgiven. And when you truly experience the forgiveness, it is life changing. Life changing. To be restored to our rightful relationship with God. To have the burden and the guilt of sin removed from you. To feel God's presence and his love in your life. It is life changing. That's why I say forgiveness is an experience. Now, I'm going to do something I know many of you don't like to do, but I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And we're going to have a real moment here. I want you to have a real moment and consider, where do you stand with God? Are you where you need to be? Are you working to avoid sin in your life? Or are you a person living by comparison, thinking that you're okay because you're better than somebody else? Because I'm here to tell you, it's not if I do better than you. It's about going to the Holy Father and experiencing His forgiveness for you. Are you actively, daily seeking forgiveness from God? When was the last time you heartfeltly went to God and said, God, I need forgiveness? Because we need to be right with God. And if you want to be right with God, I'm going to have you say this simple phrase with me. Father, forgive me. Right? Isn't that easy enough to say, Father, forgive me? But here's the key. I don't want you to just say, Father, forgive me. I want you to say this in full sincerity and humbleness. I want you to desire that experience, desire to be right with God. So let's say this together. Father, forgive me. Let's say it again. Father, forgive me. Let's say it louder. Father, forgive me. Does that feel awkward? Or does that feel refreshing? Does it provide relief, joy, or gratitude? Because if you said it, and if you meant it, I am here to tell you, you are forgiven. I'm here to tell you that you have been set free. And now that you have been set free, you have a choice. You have a choice to leave here and go back to your sins and do it all over again. Or you have a choice to really live for Him and receive what He has in store for you. Living for God is a journey. Living for Him will have its setbacks. But let me tell you, living for Him is amazing. Living for Him gives you peace and joy and a love like you have never felt. And our closing hymn says it like this. Oh, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, what a joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know He touched me and made me whole. Somehow, God should touch you. It could be a moment of forgiveness. It could be a moment of revelation. It could be a moment of a joyful worship experience. But God should touch you. And if you come here to worship and you don't get that experience, then there's something wrong. There is sin in your life that is preventing you from experiencing that joy, that forgiveness, that overwhelming sense that God touched me. And that sin could simply be that you have refused to forgive someone else. That you're harboring something that you don't need to
carry? Why would you want to carry a burden that you don't need to carry?
I think my rucksack in the army fully loaded was about 80 pounds. If you notice, I don't carry that around anymore. Because I don't have to carry it around anymore.
God wants to take that burden off of you. You don't need to carry what's tearing you up. You don't need to carry what's bringing you down. And you don't need to carry what is preventing you from receiving God's joy. Each and every day, spend time with God and make asking forgiveness a very clear part of your prayer life.
And if God still feels distant, then you need to say, God, reveal to me what I need to fix. And you just might run into that person later that day. Someone may bring him up in a conversation. You might get a phone call, and you're just going to have to go, oh, this is hard. But like I said, whether they accept it or not, your forgiveness is your forgiveness. Your letting go is letting go. And there's no need to walk around with a splinter in your finger, is there? There's no need to carry around an extra weight. That's not necessary. God has good and wonderful things for His people. I'm not saying it's going to be a journey of roses. It's not always going to be easy. In fact, the closer you are to God, the harder stuff He's going to ask you to do. But when you're close to God, you'll do it joyfully. You'll do it willfully. And you'll see God's glory shine in everything. And if you want to see remarkable things, then we need to be a people of forgiveness. A people that give it and a people that receive it. Let us go, knowing that we serve a wonderful and just God, whose love, like the psalmist said, is bigger than anything we can imagine. And that when He forgives us, He removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Let us leave here with that peace of knowing that great and holy God. May we live in His presence and experience all He has to offer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.